Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. I want to welcome you to another edition of the Miracle Man Show here on Tuesday, November the 22nd. I'm your host, the Miracle Man, here on this 2 days before Thanksgiving, this Tuesday, 2 days before Thanksgiving. And, of course, it's great to be with you, as it always is, and I'm thankful to God that you would choose to tune into the broadcast. Wherever it is that you are, whatever it is that you might be doing. Even if you're tuned in to the program and maybe you're trying to get some ingredients or last-minute ingredients for Thanksgiving if you live in this country. And so I'm pretty well ready to go for Thanksgiving, because ultimately, as I've been trying to tell you recently, Thanksgiving is about giving of thanks. It's not just about the family get-togethers, if you have them, or friend get-togethers or whatever. Some people will have these Thanksgiving get-togethers that are with friends, and they will call them Friendsgiving. Have you ever heard of such a thing, Tori? Have you ever heard of these so-called Friendsgivings?
Yes, I have.
What are they? Or are they like what I said? They're like the family get family ones, but they're not on Thanksgiving, and they're just friends that come?
Pretty much.
So what they are is their friend get-togethers.
Yeah, pretty much.
So they didn't used to be a big thing until the last few years, right?
I mean, they do a lot of, like, drinking, too, like, when the friends get together.
The idea is
just kind of like a little party, in a sense.
Because usually the family ones, in a way, as they would say, are rather supposed to be more family-friendly, if you know what I mean.
Right, exactly.
So, like, they're, people will do a little bit. But nonetheless, as I was saying, yeah, that's all good, you know, when you get together and that and see your families and what have you, that it's always great to see family. But it's about giving us thanks unto God. In fact, that was mentioned in the original article that declared a day of giving of thanks back in the, like, 1789 from President George Washington. It wasn't until the 1860s that Thanksgiving would become permanent, a permanent holiday in this country. In the 1930s, actually the early 40s, there became a thing called Franksgiving, referring to President Franklin D. Roosevelt's idea. His idea was to make Thanksgiving be not necessarily the last Thursday in November. Originally, it was to be on the last Thursday of November, regardless of date, meaning that it could be as late as November 30th, as early as November 24th, like this year. So, for example, one of the years around that time, there was a couple states that did both, few states that went with Franks, few that went with how it had been. And it was kind of a odd thing. So now it's the fourth Thursday. I think it would be cool to have it be the third Thursday personally, because I always think it's cool if you can have more time between Thanksgiving and Christmas. It's something that I prefer personally. And especially with the amount of different things I do or would like to do between Thanksgiving and Christmas, like different things like that, still have everything be all decorated and stuff. And I noticed something this year. I think the size of the mall these days determines whether they're actually urgent to put up their Christmas stuff or whether they're lazy about it.
I think they got it done pretty fast.
No, not Midland Mall. Half of the Christmas stuff is not up.
I've seen a couple of Christmas trees, but they could have done better.
They're only part way up. They're only part way up. The Santa house isn't built.
Yeah, but I mean, they technically still have over a month, right?
Back in the day, even like 7-8 years ago, back in the McDonald days, it would have been up 2 weeks ago. Back in the McDonald's days, it would have been up. Back when they had a McDonald's, it would have been up sooner. Remember? But I think it has. But you feel like it has to do with a whole lot of other stuff besides just having a McDonald's. Even though I do feel like part of the decline in this case does have to do with the McDonald's.
Yeah.
Because
there's no other stores that are decorating, because they have like total like six stores in the whole mall.
Whereas the mall by my parents' house, listeners, the Great Lakes Crossing. They had their tree stuff out, like different trees and stuff by Santa Land before Halloween. Before Halloween. Yeah, it is. But here we are, like 25 days later. Between there, we're basically halfway to Christmas.
Right.
And
we have like nothing.
They didn't even put the lights on the trees.
Yeah, I don't see any lights. I just see those cherry tree letter things on it.
Even a couple of years ago, they would put lights on the trees in the hallways. My question would be, where are the lights? Where'd they go? Because I always think it's cool when they put those lights off the map, because those certain trees they have in the hallways, I feel like those trees are there for a reason, to have Christmas lights on them.
I don't even think that the palm trees have any on them either. Usually they always have.
Then in a way, I wonder what they're doing there even.
Right.
I used to think that that's why they were there, to put Christmas lights on them.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but now they don't do the, not, but last year they put them on some of them. What? They used to put them on all of them except for the one closest to the old pennies, including even by the play place they would put them. Usually the kids didn't try to mess with the lights, thankfully. Without the lights. Maybe it's like the song, The 12 Pains of Christmas, and whoever is the head of that putting the stuff up, one of his 12 Pains of Christmas boss must be rigging up the lights. You know what song I'm talking about, don't you? The 12 Pains of Christmas. And one of them is rigging up the lights, putting up the Christmas lights. Maybe that's his idea, and that's why he won't put them up. to that, I would say, put them up. Where are they?
Maybe they'll take your decorations and put them in the mall.
If I would have, now I wouldn't do this, but if I were to break into the storage room, if I ever did such a thing, that's what it would. That's the only thing it would be for, to get the Christmas lights to put them up. Be like, put them up. I'd be like, I'd be like, are there any of them that sing or play music?
Maybe he's secretly the Grinch.
Oh, like because they turned on the Christmas music, but they didn't put lights on the trees.
Mm-hmm.
I always think it's cool, like when you can feel like those trees and notice that there's lights on them, because most of the most malls that I've been to don't have such palm trees to where they that go like almost down to the ground to where you can feel the lights.
Right.
Because in almost every other mall that I've been to, at least, even in Arizona, all the lights on the Christmas trees, all the lights were just on trees.
Right.
But they were only on Christmas trees, weren't they? They were. Did they put some in planters ever, or not that you know of anywhere?
They've
cactuses
too.
Where at, in Arizona?
Yeah.
There's they put cactuses and planters there in the mall, planters there.
Do they go all the way down
to like where I would feel them?
Yeah. Yeah,
because I feel like they should. Because it always feels cooler. Sometimes on the cold days, I will say I wish the Christmas lights got hotter. Because that'd be nice if it was, like, super, super cold on, like, you know, December 20th or something, and maybe you didn't want to put your hand to buy a heater, so you put it on a nice, hot Christmas light. Maybe one that plays music. But wait, maybe then it would make it hotter. Especially if it's a dancing light, that they would dance to different songs, you know, whether it's, but anyhow, so, and ultimately, Thanksgiving was to be a day of prayer, giving of thanks to the Almighty God, yes, feasting, and that originally, the first Thanksgiving was a period of 3 days, you know, I'm sure they didn't eat the whole 3 days, but the event that was chronicled went for 3 days. And, of course, they would roast turkey and all that kind of stuff. I'm sure there was cranberries, corn.
Were you excited for green beans?
No. I could care less about green beans.
Are you sure you don't want a green bean casserole?
I do not want a green bean casserole. I do not want a green bean casserole.
What do you want?
I would like some turkey, some mashed potatoes, some ribs would be nice if somebody brought ribs. I could care less about the stuffing, so instead I would rather have some mac and cheese.
Yeah, would you like cheesy potatoes?
Yes.
Yummy. Are you excited for Thanksgiving dinner?
Yes, I would like. I hope from the thing where your mom's going to be, I hope there's cheesy potatoes saved.
There will be.
Because
I sure hope she's gonna save
some. Yeah, because I'm not gonna be a coveter, but it would be nice to have some. Because thou shalt not covet. Including thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not covet granny's sweet potatoes or mashed potatoes or whatever other stuff that might be made that you might be insistent that better be at the dinner table.
No, I can't wait to eat.
What?
I can't wait to have my mom cheesy potatoes. I can't wait to eat her green bean casserole.
Ew.
I can't wait for it. And then I'm going to have mashed potatoes and gravy.
Yes, turkey.
Turkey and probably some ham.
Yes.
Some deviled eggs.
Ew.
What?
No deviled eggs either.
Oh, goodness.
I'd replace
where
those with
you been?
I'd replace those with fried chicken.
Ooh, I love fried chicken. But I love
But who cares about stuffing and deviled eggs and green bean casserole? I'd rather have fried chicken.
I'd rather have all of it and fried chicken. And I have chicken flavored stuffing with my fried chicken and gravy.
Or have someone go get like a 20-piece McNugget from McDonald's. Bring that there so you can eat those while they eat all their things that I don't like.
Right, there you go.
See, so that way you still get stuffed because you just sit there while they eat all the things that you don't like. That includes sweet potatoes, stuffing. Mm-hmm. Because I don't like sweet potatoes either. Why hasn't someone found a way to make it super sweet?
We have. They do like a yam, I guess, instead of yams, or maybe that's what it smells like.
Then why does it still taste not good?
It does. It has marshmallow and like brown sugar and...
Is it like a dessert?
Yeah.
Does it have any, does it still taste vegetably
no.
or no? It tastes literally like a dessert?
Sorry, this Thanksgiving will bring a little over. Happen.
Yeah, does it taste sweeter than like some of the pies even? It's actually sweeter than what pies is it sweeter than?
Almost all of them. It's almost like a pumpkin, and it's not really.
But it probably comes at a cost. By cost, I mean as far as loads of calories.
Well, maybe not because it's a sweet potato or the yam or whatever it is. They kind of, I guess, cuts it out a little. But it's so full of marshmallows and
so the sugar is probably a bit high, but
so amazing.
Yeah, but you mean like the, because you're going to say the one thing that's probably high maybe is the sugar, but not necessarily the calories. But I mean, that's what I meant when I said at a price. Meaning like. I know, but I get that, but I was just saying. That's the only reason why I said that. Some people.
Calories, I'm not concerned about Thanksgiving.
You can worry about that on Black Friday if you go and burn them. Burn them and see how many of those you can burn. And last year I was at Planet Fitness the Saturday after Thanksgiving, I would have thought it would have been super busy with people trying to burn off the calories, but it wasn't. It was empty. It was rather empty. But then again, I imagine they were home getting ready to watch Michigan play against that team to the south, which that game comes up this weekend, folks, and we'll be giving a prediction tonight on that, along with a little bit of a, discussion, as I have looked at a couple articles on both sides as far as both the Michigan side, the Wolverine side, and also the Buckeye side. I follow both groups. I follow groups from both sides too. I follow a Michigan group. I also follow a Team to the South group. to get kind of, both sides. By both sides in this case, I'm not talking about conservative liberal. I'm talking about Michigan and that team to the south. you can say that old word. some listener, for all I know, some listeners might not want me to. And so I think it would be funny to be like somewhere that's literally at the border. I feel like somewhere that's at the border could almost be ground zero, don't you think? I feel like there has to be a place that might be showing the game that could be like on the border. If it's on the other side of the border, I wonder if there's still a lot of Michigan people there. Do you bet there might be?
Probably. Do you think so?
I think there could be. I would honestly be curious to see. I really would be. I think it could be rather interesting to see. But about Thanksgiving, a verse you can stand on, one verse you could think about at this time of giving of thanks is, it says, give thanks unto God in everything. I like to add and say, not for everything, because we don't thank God for bad things. It would be very not cool. It'd be very not cool if you're going through a hard time to say, thank you, God, that we're poor. Thank you, we have nothing. We're so grateful. We're so thankful that we can't get medicines and our stomachs are bloated from no food. You're such a great God. Hey, that's dumb. That's dumb if you're thinking that. So you don't thank God for the bad. But we give thanks in situations. And I think about like Paul and Silas. They were giving thanks unto God while they were in prison. They were giving thanks to God while they were in prison. Not about the fact that they were in prison. It was while they were in prison, not about them being in prison, that they were giving thanks unto the Lord. And I think about the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You know, they knew that God had them even in the fire. Even in the fire. The fiery furnace. But as I said, not thanking God that they were in the fire, but they were giving thanks unto God, you know, worshiping him while they were in the fire. And so I just want to let you know there will not be a show tomorrow night because there'll be a Thanksgiving service in my church tomorrow night. Another quick thing is starting after Thanksgiving up through like the 26th or 27th of December or so, there'll be Christmas music on every program that I do. There'll be Christmas songs, and I really enjoy doing it. And it's there will be, you know, the spiritual Christmas songs as well as the other ones that we enjoy. And yes, Rudolph will be one of them. And that one's a good one. And a few years ago, do you remember when people were attacking the song Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and they were complaining that he was bullied? Remember that, Kaylee? Even though he was bullied, it was like they were trying to call him out on it. I will say, at first, by mistake, I basically said he wasn't bullied. Until they could see the quality that he had. And then I think the story behind it is not to bully. It's not like trying to promote bullying. And because it doesn't say they still call him names. Otherwise, it would be promoting it. If it was that they still, but make of it what you will. But the other two things, but so we'll be doing that, starting with Monday. There will be a taste of that tonight in a minute also. The other thing, other two things I want to remind you about real quick is about, one is the book, Rivers of Miracles. It's the story of my life. It's the story of how great God has been, all the miracles that he's done in my life. And I thank God for what he's done in my life. I thank God that I'm still alive. As I know for a fact that there is a reason that God has kept me alive. I know this. It's not one of those things I have to think about and try to guess. Obviously, there is a reason why he kept me alive. And it's something that in my life, I thank God for. You can go online to the website riversofmiracles.com. That is R-I-V-E-R-S of miracles.com to find out information about the book and how it can be a blessing to you. The other thing I would like to remind you about really quick is about the PayPal. You can go online to paypal.com and in the search bar type in Rivers Shukla. Again, that is Rivers, R-Y-V-E-R-S, last name, Shukla, S-H-U-K-L-A. Keep in mind there is a space between Rivers and Shukla. Also, the first R in Rivers is capitalized. And then the S in Shukla, also capitalized. And the verse I want to sow into your life tonight is John 3:16. So therefore, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. He gave something for us. He gave his life for us. And now we're going to sing a couple songs. Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope, a weary world rejoices at yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees. Oh, hear the angel voice say, a night divine. Oh, night when Christ was born. Oh, night divine. Oh, no. Oh, night divine. Truly he taught us to love one another. His love is life, and his gospel is peace. Chains shall he break, for the slave is our brother, and in his name all oppression shall cease. Sweet hymns of joy, a grateful, glorious praise be. Let all within us praise his holy name. Christ is the Lord. Let all forever praise thee, his power and glory evermore proclaim. His power and glory evermore proclaim. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because he's given Jesus Christ for us. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because he's given Jesus Christ for us. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am filled, because of what the Lord has done for us. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am filled, because of what the Lord has done for us. Give thanks. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because he's given Jesus Christ for us. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because he's given Jesus Christ for us. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am filled, because of what the Lord has done for us. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich, because of what the Lord has done for us. Give thanks. Oh, we worship you. I worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you. I worship you, O Prince of Peace. That is what I long to do. I give you praise, for you are my righteousness. I worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you. Oh, 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 I worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you. I worship you, O Prince of Peace. That is what I long to do. I give you praise, for you are my righteousness. I worship you, Almighty God, there is none like you. I worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you. I worship you, O Prince of Peace. That is what I long to do. I give you praise, for you are my righteousness. I worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you. There is none like you. There is none like you. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Worship you. We praise you. We thank you, Master. We thank you, Master. Oh, thank you, Jesus. There is none like you. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for our time together. tonight. Thank you, Master, for all these people who have made their determination to tune into the program, to learn of your ways, to study your word, to learn more about you, to follow you. Thank you that they would be ready to focus tonight on your word, to study your word, to learn of your ways, to learn things about you that they might not know yet. Thank you, Master, that they'll be able to focus on you. They'll be able to learn of your ways. They will be able to study tonight with me. I thank you, Master, that these listeners tonight have ears to hear, hearts ready to receive, minds that are open. Thank you that they will turn off all distractions and focus on you. Thank you that they will, that you will use me tonight to deliver this word, as these people will receive this word. And now I make my confession over this program. I say that sponsors and partners come into this program, that finances come into this program, that increases in listenership come into this program. And most importantly, I thank you for the huge amount of souls coming into your kingdom as a result of this great radio program. In Jesus' matchless name, amen. Go with me to, I wasn't talking to you, Kaylee. I'm talking about my listeners. Listeners, if you will, go with me to 1 Samuel chapter 2. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I want to encourage you, folks, to stay with me as I open the Word of God. You follow along. If I pray, you pray. Whatever I do, you follow along. I'm going to 1 Samuel chapter 2. I'm going to begin with verse 1. Then Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoices in the Lord. In the Lord, my horn is lifted high. My mouth boasts over my enemies, and I delight in your deliverance. There is no one holy like the Lord. There is no one beside you. There is no rock like our God. Do not keep talking so proudly or let your mouth speak such arrogance. For the Lord is a God who knows. And by him deeds await. The bows of the warriors are broken, but those who stumbled are armed with strength. These who were full hire themselves out for food, but those who go hungry hunger no more. She who was barren has borne 7 children, but she who has had many sons pines away. The Lord brings death and he makes alive. He brings down to the grave and he raises up. The Lord sends poverty and wealth. He humbles and he exalts. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from ash heap. He seats them with princes and has them near the throne of honor. For the foundations of the earth are the Lord's. Upon them he has set the world. He will guard the feet of his saints, but the wicked will be silenced in darkness. It is by strength that one prevails. Those who oppose the Lord will be shattered. He will thunder against them from heaven. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king and exalt the horn that was anointed. Then Elkanah went home to Ramah. But the boy ministered before the Lord under Eli the priest. You know what? So you can make sense as to why she was praying this way. Go with me
a few verses forward. Where did Paul? Oh, here.
Here. Found it. Go to 1 Samuel 1:10. Because now that we read the prayer, I figured we could look and see what caused her to pray this way. Now, I know, and prayerfully many of you listeners know, but for some that might not, you know, so this can make sense to you. I want to back it up to 1 Samuel 1:10. In bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much and prayed to the Lord. She made a vow, saying, O Lord Almighty, if you will only look upon your servant's misery and remember me, and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head. As she kept on praying to the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart, and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought she was drunk and said to her, how long do you keep on getting drunk? Get rid of your wine. Hannah replied, I am a woman who is deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I have been praying here out of my great anguish and grief. Eli answered, go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked him. She said, may your servant find favor in your eyes. Then she went her way and ate something. Her face was no longer downcast. Early the next morning, they arose and worshiped before the Lord, and then went back to their home at Ramah. Elkanah lay with Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. In the course of time, Hannah conceived, gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, saying, because I asked the Lord for him. Verse 21. When the man Elkanah went up with all his family to offer the annual sacrifice to the Lord and to fulfill his vow, Hannah did not go. She said to her husband, after the boy is weaned, I will take him and present him to the Lord. And he will live there always. Do whatever seems best, Elkanah, her husband told her. Stay here until you have weaned him. Only may the Lord make good his word. The woman stayed at home and nursed her son until she had weaned him. After he was weaned, she took the boy with her, young as he was, along with the 3-year-old bull and an ephah of flour and a skin of wine, brought him to the house of the Lord at Shiloh. When they had slaughtered the bull, they brought the boy to Eli, and she said to him, as surely as you live, my Lord, I am the woman who stood here beside you praying to the Lord. I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked for. So now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life he will be given over to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. So we're dealing with Hannah, who was had been barren for a long time. She was believing God for a child. And she was honestly, devoutly praying to the Lord, believing God that she would have this baby. And she just believed. Eli was sitting there when she was sitting there all crying, her face downcast, and he was basically wondering, you know, why is your face downcast? And then he was like, why are you drinking so much? Don't drink so much. And she is telling him, I haven't been drinking wine or beer. I've been sitting here pouring out my heart to the Lord. Her lips were moving, but at times her voice was not heard. And she was calling out to God to have a child. She had the child, Samuel. Named him that because she had asked him for a child. And she had promised that she would give him to the Lord, that she would give him over to the Lord. It was a vow that she made to God. If you give me this child, I will give him to the Lord. And she was thankful to have him. She doesn't show me where she went on to, now give me this, now give me that, now give me this, now give me that, now la 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 la. She gave thanks to God. She worshiped him. Hey, I think about in the Bible, I think about other places in the Bible. I think about where there were 10 lepers that were cleansed of leprosy. And 9 of them, there were 9 that didn't have leprosy anymore. but you could kind of tell by the way their skin looked that maybe they had had leprosy in the past. But there was another man who came back to Jesus and thanked him that he had been healed of leprosy. He came back to Jesus and he thanked him. Came before him with thanks and praise and worshiped him. And I don't think it was just a little, thank you. You know, like the way we just say, you know, thank you, have a nice day. I think there was more to it than just a little thank you, have a nice day. You know, she was, I'm sure they were pouring out, he was pouring out his heart before Jesus. And he was so happy that to be, that Jesus ended up not just taking the leprosy away, but he was totally made whole from it. All signs that he ever had leprosy were removed from him. So he decided to come back and thank, as opposed to the one who decided not to. The one who decided not to, he... So that... And Jesus even ends up saying, weren't all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? They all got healed. Where are the other 9? Why won't they come and thank me? And he was, I just think, you know, he was so grateful. I pray that when we receive things from Jesus, that we come before God with that grateful heart. And Hannah, you see, she was a woman that had a heart of gratitude. She has the baby, calls to God for the baby first, you know, conceives Samuel, and then gives birth to Samuel, and then she gives thanks to the Lord for Samuel. Yes, she gave thanks to him. She was very glad that she had him. And I don't think she was upset, you know, about, you know, she gave thanks and she was grateful to him. And she had a heart of gratitude. She had what you could call an attitude of gratitude. An attitude of gratitude. She was very grateful to the Lord for what he had done in her life. And she decided to offer him to the Lord as a way of thanking. She was, and I just think it's one of those, the story of Hannah giving birth to Samuel and then what happens. It's a pretty cool story. And I want to continue on. A few verses in chapter 2. Starting with verse 12. Eli's sons were wicked. They had no regard for the Lord. Now it was the practice of the priests, of the people that Whenever anyone offered a sacrifice while meat was being boiled, the servant of the priest would come with a three-pronged fork in his hand, and he would slaughter it into the pan and kettle or cauldron or pot, and the priest would take it, would take for himself whatever the fork brought up. This is how they treated all of the Israelites who came to Shiloh. But even before the fat was burnt, the servant and the priest would come and would say to the man who was sacrificing, "Give the priest some meat to roast." He wouldn't accept boiled meat from you, but only raw. The man said to him, "Let the fat be burnt up first, and then take whatever you want." The servant would then answer, "No, hand it over now. If you don't, I'll take it away by force." This sin of the young men was very great in the Lord's sight, but they were treating the Lord's offering with contempt. But Samuel was ministering before the Lord. A boy wearing a linen ephod. Each year, his mother made him a little robe and took it to him when she went up with her husband to offer the annual sacrifice. Eli would bless Elkanah and his wife, saying, "May the Lord give you children. Take the place of the one that she prayed for and gave to the Lord." Then they would go home. The Lord was gracious to Hannah. She conceived and gave birth to 3 more sons and 2 daughters. Meanwhile, the boy Samuel grew up in the presence of the Lord. Now Eli, who was very old, heard about everything that his sons were doing to all Israel and how they slept with the women who served at the entrance to the tent of meeting. She said to them, "Why do you do such things? I hear from all the people about these wicked deeds of yours. No, my sons, it's not a good report that I hear among the Lord's people. If a man sins against another man, God may mediate for him. If a man sins against the Lord, who will intercede for him?" His servant, however, did not listen to his father's rebuke. For it was the Lord's will to put them to death. The boy Samuel continued to grow in stature and in favor of the Lord and with men. So Eli's children were not good kids, not good sons, They were not good sons at all. But as you see here, Samuel grew. He grew. And God continued to use him he began to be favored, have favor with God and man. So he was highly favored, and people would look to him because he had favor in the eyes of God. And God used him for many great things. Yes, he used him for many great things. feed it. And it was, I think that was a pretty neat story. And a couple things I want to, there's something I want to mention to you again before I pray and then get into sports. So this weekend, as you're with your families, why not take a minute, a couple minutes, you know, and share your testimony about what God did in your life. And that would be a really cool thing if you could do that. Doesn't have to be long, by any means. But share for a minute. Because it's a great thing. Make sure your family members at least get a chance to hear about Jesus and to be able to know him and give their life to him. And so that would be a cool thing to do. Thank you, Jesus, for this word. I pray that we would always be grateful people, that we would always be thankful people, and that we would be doers of your word and not hearers only. And that people would ask us questions and we'd be able to answer them. Lord. And I thank you, Master, for what you're doing in the lives of these people. In your name. Amen. Now for sports. In college football, the game, Michigan versus that team to the south in Columbus. Michigan might have Blake Corum in the lineup. He might not. Both teams are keeping, Jim Harbaugh is keeping quiet about the results of Blake Corum, the running back, which I guess in a way makes sense, but it'll make it much easier for Michigan with Blake Corum. Their quarterback must be more accurate than what he has been in order to beat that team to the south. The winner of this game will have to be into the 40s, 30s or 40s to win. I truly believe that. This number two versus number three game, I think could very well be a dogfight. The winner will most certainly go into the college football playoff as long as they win the Big Ten championship. The winner will represent the East, Big Ten East, in the championship. The team who does not win will probably end up in the Rose Bowl, is how it's predicted. My crew an honest prediction for this game. Low, high, and outside, 43, Michigan, 40. Michigan, if they can have quorum healthy and get their quarterback situation figured out to where he's more accurate, then they could have a better chance. If not, then I think that it could be a close game, but if you look at both of these teams' last game, what you see here is Michigan 19, Illinois 17, Bucks 43, Maryland 30. So what you see there is Illinois' defense might be better than the Bucks's. But at the same time, you look and you go, the Bucks win was a little more it was a little more convincing. Part of that was because of a pick six return by the Bucks, by the Bucks' defense, that was able to win them the game. And why it was 43-30 instead of 36-30. Because it could have been 36-30. But then there was an interception by Maryland quarterback. There was an interception basically two plays just after the Bucks had scored a field goal to make it 36-30. And they gave them the insurance that they needed. So number two versus number three in the horseshoe. Some people like to call it the toilet bowl, but I don't know if I want to go that far with it or not. As I've said last year even, I do want this rivalry to be more competitive than what it had been as far as this. Let's go a little bit down memory lane, shall we? So if we go back to for a while there was in the 70s, you know, 60s to 70s, there was a 10-year war between with Woody Hayes and the Bucks and our guy and the Wolverines. I mean, the Wolverines peep on me. Because I'm trying to be neutral and not say that I'm, you know. And so there's then in the 80s, it was kind of still kind of a mix. 90s, it was mostly Michigan. And there was a couple of very close ones in the 90s. There were also a couple of blowout wins by the Bucks. 99 and 2000, you know, 98, a blowout win by the Bucks. 99 and 2000, Michigan won it. 01 and 02, Bucks. 03, Michigan. 04 to 10, bucks every time. Now, the win from 2010 would be taken away because of the Bucks, you know, doing something, you know, the improper benefits, that whole silly thing with the NCAA. 2011, Michigan beats the Bucks. 2012 to 2019, all Bucks all the time. A couple close games, though. And some big Buck blowouts where the Bucks were blowing them out. 2021, Michigan got it done. This year, my prediction is for the Bucks to take it. Now I would like it to be more competitive between the two. Maybe one team gets it once or maybe twice, and then the other team gets one or two. And it be kind of back and forth is what I would like to see it be like. Because then it keeps it to be intriguing. Helps keep it be intriguing. Helps keep the intrigue going. Okay. Michigan State finishes out the regular season. If they can win, they could be bowl eligible. NFL Lions on Thursday, tomorrow on Thursday, Thanksgiving Day, playing the Bills at Ford Field. Honest prediction? Billy Bob, 33, lying down, 28. The Bills are a really good team. I do expect the Lions to keep it close, but I just think they'll fall to the Bills. I just do. And then another sports news. Detroit will play host to the 2027 NCAA Men's Final Four at Ford Field in Detroit. And it has been confirmed that Michigan State University will be the official host. My hope is that Michigan State can make it to that Final Four or Michigan. I think that would be really, 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 really cool if they could. So it could be like 09 all over again when Michigan State made it all the way to the Final Four, even though they didn't win the championship game. All right, I confess Psalm 91 over us in the name of Jesus. I say that no evil shall befall us, no plague shall come nigh our dwelling, for you have given your angels charge over us to keep us in all of our ways. No drug or drunk driver, no rapist, no burglar. None of this evil stuff comes near us. We will live in great peace and great joy and prosperity and be a powerful witness for you, Jesus. Amen. I sure love you. Until next time, God first, God always. So long, everybody, and happy Thanksgiving.